A decade. Melody.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. Welcome back. We're continuing our study here in Ephesians. And by the way, this is Cross the Border. If you've just joined us, I'm Nicholas. And what we do here is we go through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that we can rightly divide the Word of God. And because it's my program, I get to comment as I go through it. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will lead me in directions that He feels that I need to go or that the hearer needs to go. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and take advantage of the resources there. Make sure you watch that short video there. And all of these programs are archived there, so you can find a link to all the latest programs. We left off at Ephesians chapter 5, about verse 15, so we'll just jump right back in here. Where Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools." In our last segment, we talked about what it means to walk circumspectly. Of course, circumspect means to have a 360-degree view, and that means to see everything around you, to see the implications of everything that you do, or your walk. Walk circumspectly. Fools don't watch. And they don't understand the ramifications of the things they do. They eat because they're hungry. They chase women because they have an instinctual drive to do so. They just satisfy the need, the feeling, the hunger at the time without looking around and walking circumspectly, understanding the implications, the ramifications, and what the results will be of the things they do. Fools, not as wise. But Paul says, be wise and walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And the days certainly are evil days. We live in a time of death and corruption. We have a grace period from our God, and if we take advantage of that grace period by coming to His Redeemer, His Messiah, then we receive an additional grace to help us walk in His kingdom and live a life of obedience to Him. That would be the wise thing to do, walking circumspectly, taking care of things eternal, because this life is short, this mortal existence is short, and eternity is forever. So if we're going to walk circumspectly, we're going to take care of the more important things and keep our view on that which is most important, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand what the will of the Lord is? You don't understand? Just keep listening. Or pull out the book yourself and read it. For yourself. If you don't have time, you can listen to a program like this while you're working and doing other things that don't require a lot of attention. Even if you have this going in the background, perhaps some of it will sink into your subconscious. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And of course, we can talk about being drunk with wine, We can talk about drugs. We can talk about the pharmacopoeia of pharmaceuticals that is out there and available for consumption. Some people get drunk on food. Some people get drunk on sex. Some people are hooked on their own endorphins. And that can happen from food. That can happen from sex. That can happen from smoking cigarettes. That can happen from an incessant need to exercise, to jog every day. Not saying that's a really bad thing to do. You can overdo that. But what are you after? That's the thing. Are you just hooked on the endorphins to the destruction of your own body from wearing it out? Well, you know, be wise. Think about those things. I'm not going to judge anybody in many of those things because exercise profits a little. And so it is a good thing. Bodily exercise profits a little. But let's not leave off the things that are most profitable. Okay. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And Paul's, you know, he's saying that, hey, you can drink a little wine, but when it gets to the excessive point where you're drunk, you know, put the two together. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's those are the things that your mind should be dwelling on. If you belong to Him, if His kingdom is first in your life, you're going to be meditating on Him, thinking about Him and His word and His promises, and serving Him should occupy most of your time and most of your day. And I know that's foreign to the world. Why, they think that you're crazy if you walk around and most of your time is taken in serving Him, in thinking and meditating on His word, walking in His kingdom. But that's what it means. When Jesus said, seek ye first. He didn't say just do it first in a succession of things, you know, like the 100 things I want to do before I die. You know, I want to go to the Great Pyramids. I want to scale Mount Everest. I want to ride a bike across the United States. And, oh yeah, I want to seek the kingdom of God. That's not the kind of first or want in a succession, first in a succession of things that you want to accomplish before you die. First means first place every day. First place in everything. First place in all your motivation for everything you do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. A lot of people like to forget that righteousness thing. You know, that is to do what's right in His sight. And how do we know? Well, we have His word, we have His law, we have His statutes. Now we need His Spirit to understand those things and walk and worship Him in spirit and in truth, redeeming the time, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. And, you know, this is another way, Paul's instructions on how to redeem the time, to have your mind fixed on things eternal, to have your mind fixed on His word, fixed on serving Him with your life, to have your mind fixed on living a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And when your mind is fixed on that, you know that you are in His kingdom. You know, there are many people that follow men or follow governments or have jobs, and the first thing in their life is that government, that job, serving that master, doing His will. It consumes them. And then there are others that are consumed by chasing women, having sex, getting drugs, going to parties. Whatever it is that consumes them is first place in their life. Let me be consumed by His kingdom. Let me be consumed with living a life that's pleasing to Him. What consumes you? What uses your life up? That's what consume means, to use something up. Our lives are being used up. Our lives are a temporary thing. We are mortal. Our lives have an expiration date, these mortal lives. What are you going to consume your life upon? Chasing women? Chasing men? There are a lot of good things you can consume your life on that will keep you from God. And there are a lot of evil things that you can do. Many good things. People idolize things that would otherwise be good. Some people idolize their family, their children. And it's good to take care of your own. But when you put them before God, when you're consumed by them rather than Him, I mean, He drew the illustration. I didn't. He said it, not me. He said, if you love your mother or father more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your children more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. Of course, we have it in the King James Version in much stronger words than that. He used the word hate, but I understand what he was saying. If you love them more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. Better sort that one out. That gives a lot of people problems. And the problem, here's the real problem, is when they put their children or their family or whatever that thing is before God, and they think they love their family. Oh, no, I can't love God more than I love my family. Well, then you're really hating your family. If you really loved your family, you would put God first, because you would walk by faith and you'd realize the best thing for your family is to put God first, is to put His kingdom first and His righteousness. So I say, if you love me, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I say, if you love your children, keep His commandments. If you love your wife, keep His commandments. If you love your family, keep His commandments. Because love is, agape is keeping His commandments. And everything else will fall into place. And don't you worry about it. Even if you make a mistake, He'll take your mistake and He'll turn it around for good, because He's going to judge the intent of your heart. And He will teach you obedience. He will teach you the right way. Because He said all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. You can read that for yourself. So, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yahushua, our Messiah, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And what does submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of God means? Well, according to God's law. He has a kingdom government. And I believe that's what Paul is going to go on to explain a little bit of how we need to submit. We don't submit ourselves to the tyranny of others. We don't submit ourselves to the lusts of others and to the unlawful desires of others. We submit ourselves in the fear of God to His lawful kingdom government. Paul continues, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. So Paul verifies what he means by submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God by drawing out the illustration of kingdom, family, government, and government in the church. Let's continue here. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's right, in everything. Now, does this mean that if your husband wants to sell you into prostitution, that you should submit? No. Remember, it's in the fear of God. That's the beginning of it, in the fear of God. That means God's law is supreme, and this principle is taught throughout the Scripture. We don't have to obey tyrants when they would require us to do something that is against God's law. Daniel, go back to Daniel and those three Hebrew boys, young men as they were, that they were slaves in Babylon, servants to the king of Babylon. Servants, obey your masters, Paul says later on. And they did. They obeyed their masters. But when their master, when the king, asked them to break God's law, man, the breaks went on. Those boys became disobedient to their master because they could not be disobedient to God's law. To be obedient to God's law, they had to be disobedient to their master. And this applies in marriage too. So there's the line for you women. Obey your husbands. As long as he's not asking you to break God's law, It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. You need to obey as unto the Lord. And walk in faith. Believe that God will turn that situation around, even as uncomfortable, as tyrannical, or whatever the situation may be, as bad as it may be. And of course, if your husband is breaking God's law by beating you or something like that, and I'll tell you, there men can be abused by their wives too. So this can actually work both ways. Because I know men who could beat the living snot out of their wives, but they took it from their wives simply because they would not fight back. They would take a beating from their wives. They would take it from them simply because, well, under the circumstances, many times women are not as strong as men, so they really can't hurt them that much unless they pick up an object or something. I'm not telling anyone to take it. But, you know, there's a time to flee rather than fight back. If your life's not in danger, or even if your life is in danger, you might have to fight back. But to flee, you know, I'm not telling you that you have to take everything to the harm of your own body or the body of your own children. But at the same time, because you're displeased with your husband or because he's asking you to do something you don't want to do but doesn't break God's law, you don't drive him to anger. You don't drive him to rage so that you can escape it. You humbly submit yourselves and pray, trusting God, enduring and praying for that peaceable fruit. And our Heavenly Father, if we're faithful and He judges our heart, He'll take care of the situation. Maybe not as fast or the way that we would like to, but He will take care of it. Remember, we're walking circumspectly. We have our eye on that eternal prize. And also, we care about the one that we may be having a hard time living with. Living together with people is a challenge. Conflicts arise, but those conflicts are there to try us, to see what we're made of. Will we lie? Will we be just? Will we do the right thing? Will we do the wrong thing? It's like judgment day. You know, it's like a trial. It's putting our souls on trial. Will we obey God's law in whatever conflicts arise with other people? Or will we try to be the peacemaker, even when it seems or even is impossible? And it's difficult at times. We all have feelings. We can feel betrayal. We can feel the anger. And we're going to feel all those things. We'll feel rage. All those feelings are a gift from God, because along with all those negative feelings come good feelings. And it's right to feel those things that you feel. And especially you men, you're not to be controlled by your feelings, because you're not as an emotionally driven creature as your wife is. That's just the way that God made us different. That's why He put the man in charge. A man is supposed to be able to override his feelings and govern his household in such a manner that he can help his wife to control her feelings. Yes. Living with people, relationships, marriages, families can be very trying things, especially when it comes to conflicts. But let's try to resolve them in a godly fashion. Be ye angry and sin not. We read that yesterday or last time on the broadcast, and we discussed that a little bit. If you missed it, please go back and get the broadcast from the day before and listen to the whole study here in Ephesians. Let's move on a little bit. Let's see, where did we leave off? Husbands, love your wives. Okay, well, therefore the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Now, there's a commandment. If husbands love their wives, we'd have a lot less problems. And sometimes we need to get inventive. Sometimes we just need to pray. Even pray with your wives. Say, you know, Heavenly Father, I really want to obey your commandment to love my wife. You know, help me, show me how to love her as you love the church. Because that's what it says here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Wow, that's a commandment. We're supposed to do to our wives, men, as Christ did to the church. Christ washes the church with the water of His Word. That means we're in His Word. We need to be in it. We need to be reading it. We need to be meditating on it. We need to be listening to programs like this and getting the Word into us. And we use that Word not to beat our wives up, but to wash them as Christ washes us, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we have commandments. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. That's the commandment to wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. There's the commandment. And if you got a husband and a wife trying to live their life in obedience to the Heavenly Father, prayerfully trying to keep these commandments with each other in obedience to the Heavenly Father in their marriage, something good is going to happen. It is going to work, especially when both parties are working on it. Something, you know, just give it the time it needs, but continue. Husbands need honor, and that means obedience, submission, because that's the kingdom government position that God gave him in the family. You want a miserable man? Well, look for a man that's ruled by his wife. Then she rules the household, and you'll have a miserable man, and you'll have a miserable woman. You'll have a miserable couple, and it won't work. Either that or they'll just tolerate each other. There's a lot of tolerance going on these days, and it destroys families and it destroys the children, and it's no good if everybody ends up in hell, scattered. No. Wives, submit. Honor your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. That's what it takes. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, as of course now we're speaking of Christ in the church, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, and that's it. We don't just accept the status quo. We don't just go on as if everything's okay and continue in our sin. Because Christ loves us. He's working on us to remove all the spots and all the blemishes. And of course, I'm talking of sin here. Sin in our lives. Things that do not conform with His law and His Word. Yes, the law of His kingdom. He is the King. He has a kingdom. He has a law. And there is a spirit to that law, which He is teaching us how to obey the spirit of the law of His kingdom. Chapter 5, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And it was that way from the beginning. And here we have Paul repeating that edict, that command that Adam spoke in the beginning. Even the Messiah quoted Adam on this. And the two shall be one flesh. He continues, this is a great mystery. Ah, there it is, a mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll finish up in Ephesians chapter 6. You're listening to Cross the Border. fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Paul, really a chapter separation here, is I think in the wrong place. And it just shows you that the chapter separations and the numbering system are not inspired. Because Paul's really continuing here with his admonition on and using kingdom government as an illustration. He continues, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now here, as we discuss with all kingdom government, as I brought up the illustration of Daniel and those three Hebrew young men who obeyed their master when the master required them to break God's law. And I believe that the caveat that Paul adds here, children, obey your parents, with the caveat, in the Lord, for this is right, he says. That is there for perhaps for adults, because to give them a little discretion as to whether their parents are overstepping their kingdom, family, government authority, because parents can ask something of their adult children, and adult children don't always have to obey, but I believe that there is a required obedience up to a point. And so the Heavenly Father there adds the caveat for children to obey their parents in the Lord. So a little discretion there. And of course, if your parent, regardless of your age, if you're old enough to discern that your parent is asking you to do something that is unlawful or requiring you to participate in something that is not right, then you should refuse, perhaps, maybe even flee, depending upon the circumstance. It's hard for younger children that can be manipulated by their parents, but as children get older, they can take more control. They can flee if they need to, or if their parents are overbearing when they have their own household, their parents try to come in and run their household. Now that they're married, they're overstepping their bounds, and it's not in the Lord, and of course in His kingdom government and principles that we have here in the Scripture. But we should obey our parents in as much as it is possible, regardless of our age, with discretion as we get older, for this is right. Honor, and that has a lot to do with honor. Honor can be obedience. I'm not going to say it is obedience. Some people say honor does not mean obedience. Well, honor can be obedience. Again, like I said, with discretion. I would never go into one of my children's household and try to usurp the authority of the head of that household, the father of that household, or the husband of my daughter. I would never do that. That would be overstepping my boundaries. I have to let them even make their own mistakes, as hard as that is, parents. But you have to let them make their own mistakes. And you can advise them, but try not to overstep your boundaries there. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So it's the commandment that comes with a promise, that your days may be long on the face of the earth. And you can go back to the Ten Commandments, which is what Paul is referring here to. It's the commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, I've always had a problem with this. Provoke not your children to wrath. What does that mean? And I think there may be a little problem here with the translation, or with our understanding of the translation, because we're going back to a translation that is, you know, 400 or 500 years old. This portion of the scripture has never been updated. And perhaps it makes a little more sense to me. And you fathers, provoke not your children with wrath. Because, you know, you get angry. And we all do that. It makes a lot more sense to me because, you know, of the anger thing. You can't use anger to provoke your children to do the right thing. It doesn't work. And I believe that that's more fitting here. And it works both ways. Don't provoke your children to wrath because you don't want them to be angry at you. So it goes that way. Don't use anger, and you won't get anger back. You know, we're not to use anger as a motivational force in the lives of our children. And I think that's what I get from this. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that means living it, teaching it, and living it. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers. You know, don't just do it to be seen. You know, just don't act right when the master or the boss is around. You know, act right and do the right thing even when he's not around. That's what Paul's getting here. Because a lot of people, they just, you know, they only want to be seen doing right, and then they slack off or even backbite or talk behind their bosses or their master's back. But again, if your master, your boss, or whatever requires you to do something that breaks God's law, then it's time to sever the relationship and say no, no matter what the consequences, because you have a higher master in heaven. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Paul continues with his admonition to the masters now, or the bosses. And you masters, do the same thing unto them. Forbearing, threatening, that means don't threaten. You're going to lose your job, whatever. Forbearing, threatening, that means do not threaten. And we can apply that to children too. I believe that has a lot to do with the anger. Anger is very threatening to children. You know, not using anger or threats as a motivational force. The same type of thing here. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. He doesn't think you're better because you're the boss, in other words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your own power, not in the power of the things this life has to offer, not in the might of your flesh, not because you're bigger than someone else, or you have more money, or you're able to hire more lawyers, or whatever, in his power, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand up, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, I could translate that in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm. There are spiritual forces at work. Certainly, my enemy and his minions, his demons that hate me and want to destroy me and destroy the work I'm doing, they want to carry me away. They want to make me fall back into sin and forget the life that I have in Christ, raising up enemies against me to tempt me, doing terrible things against me. And I have to remember that it isn't the flesh and blood that I see that's coming against me. And it isn't the powers of this world that they're using against me. There are spiritual forces at work here. And many of these people that are coming against me are dupes. They're being duped by spiritual forces, by demonic activity. And they're falling for the temptation. Like I said, many of the conflicts that come with life, with just helping people out, taking chances with people, conflicts arise. But what do in the conflict? Do we lie? Do we cheat? Do we get greedy? Do we try to destroy others and murder them using the weapons of this world? Legal tactics, CPS, whatever we can, the IRS, calling all of the dogs of the world on those that we hate unjustly? Or do we try to make peace? Or do we just say, it's fine, let's move on. You be live at peace, and I'll live in peace. Nobody's been harmed here. Let's move on, and I don't want to harm anybody. And even better than that, reconciliation, if possible. But sometimes people are so controlled and so blinded by the spiritual forces at work in their life that they can't let go of their hatred and their anger and their greed. And it's a very sad situation. It can be. So, take on the whole armor of God. Chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, because without the truth, you can't stand. If you're holding on to lies and covetousness, you can't stand. The breastplate of righteousness. If you're greedy for gain, if you sacrificed everything for your career and including your family, you don't have this armor of God. If you're not living your life with one object, to please Him, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, you're naked. You have no armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Look for the truth in everything, and be willing to admit when you're wrong and repent. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, is what you're doing, is it right in His sight? If you're not doing righteousness, remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you ready to give an answer to anyone about your faith? Are you willing to share it? Is it important to you to bring people into His kingdom where true peace exists? Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's why I said it's number one. It consumes you, the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and the gospel of peace. It becomes a motivating force of your life above everything else. Everything else is secondary. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you know what faith is to me? It's faithfulness. It's believing God's word and living my life accordingly. And that, to me, that even means obeying the dietary laws, because I believe God's word. I believe He gave me that law for my own good. I believe that I will be healthier and happier, and my children will be healthier and happier because I love them. I keep His commandments. Not to mention all of the commandments. That's faith to me. I will do what He says because I believe that's the best thing for my life. To me, that's faith. It's faithfulness to the things that He has commanded. Faithfulness to the commandments, His law that He's written in my mind and upon the table of my heart, that I might not sin against Him. That's what faith is all about. It's a belief that brings forth works, good works. James said it, faith without works is dead. So if you don't have the works, then you don't really have the faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yes, I can take it all, because I know, I believe in the promises of God, and I'm living a life that is faithful to His word, to the best of my ability, and it is in the forefront of my mind. Every day, frontlets between my eyes, a lamp to my path. That's what His word is, and that's what I have faith in. Take, He continues, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. Man, don't let go of that helmet of salvation. That is the circumspect view. Knowing that it's only through Him, only through putting Him in His kingdom first in our lives, that we can endure to the end, because those that endure till the end shall be saved. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Get it in your heart, where the Holy Spirit can draw it out and answer every challenge that life has to offer. Is answered by the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, an attitude of prayer in every circumstance of life, praying always, an attitude of communion with the Heavenly Father. All of your thoughts to Him, all of every word you say, He hears it. He's part of the communion that you're having with everyone around you. Now, sometimes that thought can be a little disconcerting, especially when we react. And we all do it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And to supplicate means to humble yourself in your prayers to humbly ask for what you need. Prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, and again, supplication for all the saints, humbly praying for all the saints. You know, that kind of goes against the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, where you have a hierarchy, hierarchical government in the church, where you have, you know, as the heathen do in their government, supplication for all the saints. And no, there aren't special saints that you pray to. We are all saints, called saints. And we've discussed that. I forget what verse that is where it says called, and the updaters, the authorized updaters, called to be saints. But they added the to be there, but called saints. We are called saints to be. We are sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God when we were baptized. In His Holy Spirit, we receive that newness of life. We are called saints. Sacred. That's right. The temple of the living God. Stones in the building of His kingdom. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, Paul's continuing saying, pray for me, all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, I'll take that one. You know, while you're out there praying for all the saints, pray for me that I, and, you know, with Paul, Paul's not here anymore, but I am, to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I hope you're getting it, people. The mystery of the kingdom of God. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, and if you don't understand it, just pray, Heavenly Father, give me eyes to see, give me ears to hear. Help me to understand the mystery, the hidden things of the gospel. And you could start by watching that video on my website, crosstheborder.org. I think if you open your eyes and pray, that God will show you something through that video that you didn't understand before. The mystery of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the gospel. Paul continues, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So he's sending this letter with this brother Tychicus, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahushua, in the Hebrew, our Messiah. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And I say amen. And thus we end the epistle by Paul to the Ephesians. You've been listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org, and you'll find many studies in the Scripture there. And I suggest that everyone go there and perhaps start with Genesis, or maybe one of the Gospels. Perhaps start with Matthew is one of my favorite, and then move on to Acts so you can see the progression of the church. Matthew, of course, written by a Hebrew and one of the 12 apostles of Israel, and of course Luke written by a Greek and another nation called a Gentile, who joins Paul and his troop, and we discovered that going through the book of Acts. But that's a good place to start. Pick one of the Gospels. If you like Luke, well, pick the Gospel of Luke, and you can have the same author after you read Luke, and then read Acts, and then after you read Acts, just continue reading all of the epistles. Romans, Corinthians, that's what I would suggest. Pick a gospel, perhaps Matthew or Acts, and then after you read Acts, just keep reading to the end of the book. And you may not understand Revelation, but our Heavenly Father wrote in it that there's a blessing for those that read. He didn't say that those who read and understand will be blessed. He said there's a blessing for those that read. So read, even without understanding. God will bless you with some of, he'll give you things that you will understand or minister to you in that word. And then after you read the entire New Testament, go back to the beginning of the book and read. Start reading in Genesis. And then read the whole book, or just let the Holy Spirit lead you, you know. Just some suggestions from me. But it's all there if you need a little help. It helps some people to go through the Gospels and go through my studies as they study the Scripture. Download them to your iPod and take them to work. And then make notes. Just go through and then look the things up and make sure, check me out and double check, you know, for clarification on things. Or email me if you got a question about something I say in a study. I would love to hear from you. That's why I'm here. Well, that's all we have time for today. As always, in everything you say and everything you do, praise Him and bless His holy name. Hallelujah.